It's an honor and a privilege to have the opportunity to preach to the Alumni Fellowship. Appreciate each of you being here tonight, this morning. And trust we're going to have a good day today. I appreciated all those of you that came out last night. Had a pretty good group last night and a good crowd here today. And trust the Lord's going to meet with us. Amen. If he doesn't come down, there's no point in any of us being here. It's all up to the Lord. Why don't you take your Bibles and open with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Very familiar passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 10 through 18. If you would, stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning, out of reverence to God's Word. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Notice what it says, in the power of His might. You know, we can't do it ourselves, folks. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker. You can't do it on your own. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He's the one who will help you through it. He's the one who will help you get the job done. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now, if you would, flip back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. And verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just ask you this morning to come down and help us today. God, I want to be a blessing to these preachers and to these folks here today. And Lord, I can't do it without you. I just pray that you'll reach down. Lord, you've given me a message, and I pray that you help me to deliver it in such a way that it'll be understood, and Father, to be a help. And God, we need you today. We can't do it in the power of our might. We can't carry on our ministries without you, Lord. Please, Father, come down and help us this morning. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Ephesians 6 and verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. I want to challenge you this morning. Don't just stand like a rock. A rock might move. Stand like the rock. Title of the message this morning, Stand Like the Rock. Stand like Jesus. You see, he said that I am the Lord. I change not. You see, he stands exactly today where he did back when he gave these words. Back when he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed his mind about what the church ought to be today. You see, he started that church. He built that church upon himself back then, and it's still standing today, praise God. And our direction is still the same as it was back then. We just need to stand where he stood. Stand on the rock. Stand like a rock. Don't move every which way. You know, it's just so easy in this world we live in to go this way and that way and just follow the winds of change, you know. And it's so easy to get caught up in that stuff. You remember a few years ago, so I guess it's been several years ago anymore. There was a time that independent fundamental Baptist churches were thriving. And in a lot of ways, they're thriving today. But numbers-wise, it seems like we've kind of lost it. We don't have the big crowds that we had. But you remember back in the years when we had the big crowds and we were busting out the walls and building big buildings. And you know what the liberals did? They got to looking, what's going on over there? And they started patterning their ministries after ours. And they started growing. Now here we are. We're kind of losing ground numbers-wise. And we're looking out there and the liberals are growing. All their new ideas are working for them. And they're growing great big works and they're busting out the walls and building big buildings. And now here we are on the outside looking in. What are they doing over there to make it work? And some of us are grabbing their ideas and trying to make them work. But folks, they don't have one of his churches. He said, I will build my church. And he gave the rules to run his church in his book. And folks, that's what we need to follow. We need to follow his pattern. We don't need their pattern. You see, you take something good and godly and it'll work. Anybody applies. Anybody applies these scriptural principles. I don't care. Hey, the devil applies these principles. He'll work, you know. These principles will work for anybody. But the world's principles won't work for the Christian. The world's principles won't work in an independent fundamental Baptist church. You see, stick with God's word. Anyway, Satan's attacking the Lord's churches today. He's attacking his men today. Attacking the men of God. You see, nothing's new. You see, only his strategies have changed. He's still at it. You know, just like he always was, but he's trying new, different things to try to get into our churches and try to get into our ministries and try to bring us down. You see, I know Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and that's true. That's true. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we can rest assured, no matter what happens, no matter which way I go, preacher, God's church is going to stand because he said it would. Yeah, amen, amen. Lo, I'm with you always. I understand that. You see, his church will prevail, has always prevailed, and will always. You see, there's always been a remnant. And there'll always be a remnant. You see, there'll always be a remnant. I don't know about you folks, but I want to be part of that remnant. You see, maybe there's not a huge crowd right now, although there's more than you think. You know, a lot of times we get discouraged and we say, oh, just poor me. I'm the only one in my town standing. I'm the only one. You know, nobody else is standing anymore. And you may be the only one in your town that's standing. But the Lord's given me the privilege of traveling around and getting to meet a lot of preachers and being in a lot of churches. And you know, there's still a lot of good churches out there. There's still a lot of men of God that are standing strong. They're standing like the rock. And they won't budge. So you're not alone. But nonetheless, it seems like many times like there's just a remnant. Praise God, I want to be part of the remnant then. You know, if there's not a big flow going that way, that's all right. You just give me the Word of God. Give me my old King James Bible, and I'll be part of the remnant. I'll stick by the stuff. I'll stay by the old paths. You know, you say, well, don't worry about me, Brother Rod. I wouldn't go that way. I wouldn't get messed up. You know, Satan's not going to get a hold of me. Preacher, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. See, we're no better than Peter. Turn with me over there, if you would, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Oh, I would never go that way. Oh, no, I'll never go liberal. No, I won't do it. Lord, I'll never deny thee. Well, you know me, Lord. I'll never deny thee. Watch out for that pride. I don't care who you are. Everyone, you know, we're all men. We're human. Peter was a great man. God used him mightily. Yet, he fell into the wiles of the devil. We underestimate sometimes the powers of Satan. We think that we're somebody. Well, I graduated from the Massillon Baptist College. I got my old King James Bible. I'm just going to go out there and preach, and nothing will ever go wrong with me. I'll do all right. You know, I'll be all right. You know, I'll stand strong. And we let down our guard. You see, the preachers in this room, we're Satan's number one target. He's not targeting the liberals. They're already on his side. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. He's after us. Just the moment you let it down. Preacher, layman alike, Satan desires to have you, that he might sift you as wheat, that he might bring you down. You see, I made a note in the margin of my Bible there next to verse 31. The accuser of their brethren is looking for chaff in your life as well. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. As he sifts the wheat. You know, that sifting the wheat's a good thing. But Satan says, I know there's a flaw in your life somewhere. You think you're somebody. You stand up there in that pulpit. No, you think you're somebody. You stand up there and tell everybody else how they ought to live. And I know there's problems in your life. And he's sifting our life. Lord, look at him. Look at brother pastor so-and-so down there. Lord, look at him. He's not what he ought to be. He doesn't like love you like he ought to. And he's sifting us as wheat. Looking for chaff in our life. That he might snag us and bring us down. Discourage us. No, we're not worthy. Not a one of us is worthy. We're not worthy to preach God's word. We're not worthy to pastor our church. We're not worthy to serve him. But praise God, he uses us anyhow. Amen? Amen. You see, you may not be worthy. Satan may get you to think that you're no good and you have no business preaching. You have no business standing in front of your Sunday school class. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that it don't matter to live however you want. God will use you anyhow. That's not what I'm trying to say. Please understand the spirit of what I'm saying this. But none of us measure up, so to speak. But yet God uses us. Why, God used Peter. God will use us. Just stand. You see, just stand. Have a resolve. I will stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to give in. I'm just going to stand. He'll try to lead you astray. Satan tried to lead you astray and get you away from the historical thing, you know, the things we've always stood on, the Word of God. He'll try to get you to toss your King James Bible aside. Say, oh, that wouldn't happen to me. I know preachers that used to preach the King James Bible, used to tell their people the King James Bible is the Word of God. A lot of pressure from the outside. Pretty soon, a lot of pressure from the inside. Next thing you know. Well, we just won't preach on it as often. You know, we'll just kind of mention it now. You know, the Wednesday night crowd, you know, they can handle it. We'll tell the Wednesday night crowd that the King James Bible is the Word of God. That way I can still preach the whole counsel of God. I'm still lifting up the book. But, you know, the Sunday morning crowd, well, that's when the visitors come. That's when the new Christians. They can't handle the strong meat like that, so I'll just give it to my Wednesday night crowd. Eventually, the Sunday morning crowd becomes the backbone of the church. Wednesday night crowd dies off, you know. And you haven't taught them anything. Then all of a sudden they slip in on Wednesday night and they hear you mention something about the King James Bible and say, oh, wait a minute, preacher. You just quit preaching, went to meddling. I like my RSV or my Living Bible or, you know, whatever. I like my, you know. But they're givers. Be careful. Be careful of the books you read. Tell you what, I start reading a book. I pick up a book and I start reading through there and I start finding quotations that don't ring true in my mind. What's this? Where did he get this book? And he says, that's the Bible? Where'd this come from? And I read a little farther and I find something else that don't sound right to me. Why, this guy's not even King James. I'm sorry, but I don't have a use for his book. I don't have any use for it. I'm listening to him on the radio, and I hear him start quoting something else. Shut that thing off. I don't have any need for that kind of junk. I'm not interested. You say, well, he's got some good things to say. Well, maybe he does. But I'll tell you what, he's already put aside, he does not have a final authority. He's set his authority aside, and he's decided to make man his authority. This old King James Bible is the only authority I have. It's the only authority you have. And you find some preacher that starts trying to teach you out of some other Bible, be careful. Maybe what he's saying right there on that page is good, but remember, he doesn't have an authority. And so somewhere along the line, he's going to lead you astray. You don't need that junk. Pick you up something that's written that the author believed the King James Bible is the Word of God. Pick you up a book where the author is a Baptist. Now, I got a little bit of forgiveness for the people, 50, 100 years ago. You know, some of those old books, some of them you can't beat them. Some of those guys, they quote some stuff other than the King James. And I'll give them a little bit of liberty that way. That doesn't offend me so much. They didn't know better. Dr. John Rice, he didn't stand strong on the King James Bible like you and I do. But sweet man, he's got some good books out there, and I can accept that. He didn't know better back then. There's no excuse today. Somebody picks up, it's made an issue. It's an issue today. Somebody picks up something else and, I don't want it. Go to the bookstore and you start picking up their books. Community this and Bible that. And where's their Baptist at? Well, there's no Baptist. Something's wrong. Something's missing. Why should I study from him? They'll lead you astray. You see, you will be influenced by the books you read and by the people you hang around with. Say, it won't bother me. I'll just take the good and spit out the bad, you know? You've heard that. I eat the meat and throw away the bones. Yeah, okay. You go ahead and try. I can take you to some men that have tried that. You say, well, I've been doing it all along. It hasn't affected me. I'll bet it has. You just don't realize it. It's so gradual, so subtle. You remember that adversary? Deceiver? He works subtly. He didn't come out and say, book of hell. It'll lead your church down the paths of hell. No, he doesn't promote them that way. Be careful. Be careful. Don't buy into those new philosophies. And by the way, you don't need to develop your little purpose statement for your church. You ever read Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20? Remember Jesus said, I will build my church. It's his church. Why do you need to develop a purpose statement for his church? It's his. He gave you a purpose statement. Folks, I'm sorry, but he gave us a purpose statement. He told us that we ought to be evangelizing this world. He told us we ought to be starting churches. We ought to be training and teaching people. Now, why do we need to go out and look in our community and see, well, what kind of community do we have? What are the people like here? What are their needs? We're going to try to meet their needs and develop our purpose statement around our community so we can be more effective. I'll tell you what their needs are. Their needs is a fire-breathing, hellfire-preaching Baptist preacher to preach on sin. Preach hard. Give them truth. That's what their needs are. They don't know what their needs are. So you try to build your ministry around what they think their needs are. Who are you preaching for? Who are you serving? Whose church do you have? Is it your church? Your church? Well, you go ahead and preach at your church however you like. That's all right. Go ahead and run your ministry however you like. But if you're preaching in one of his churches, better do it his way. You see, now, you may not get a big crowd. I don't know about you, I'd rather hear somebody give me truth than just make me feel good. You see, truth hurts many times, but the truth will set you free. I want the truth. Watch out that stuff. And by the way, you don't need a purpose-driven life either. God gave you a purpose. He gave you a purpose. I'll tell you how to live your life. You don't need to find out what direction you want to go. No, find out what direction he wants you to go and go. Well, what did he create us for? For his good pleasure. We're created to please him. So that's my purpose. My purpose is to please my Lord. Now, what would the Lord want? Okay, well, let's see. We'll start here in Genesis, and Lord willing, by the end of the year, we'll finish up Revelation, and somewhere along the way, the Lord's going to tell me what he wants my life to be like. You see, there's my purpose. My purpose is God's Word. I'll tell you, folks, watch out for this new stuff. Keep the old hymns. 7-Eleven songs like Brother Lance was talking about. Oh my, they're going that way. They're going that way. I don't have anything against a big screen and a projector on the screen. You know, that doesn't offend me. It's what goes on the screen that offends me. You see? Watch out for that stuff. Preachers, Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Some of us may give in. I don't want to see that. We're losing people. We're losing the ranks, folks. We got good men. I heard not too long ago a man that has stood strong 20 years. I've known the man. 20 years stood strong for truth. I don't know what happened. He's got the praise and worship choruses in. Directing his church down the new ways. Why? Pressure. Income. I don't. Brother Buckland and I are talking about that this morning. Well, you can make a lot of money in those churches. People, you please them. You give them what they want to hear. You make them feel good. Give them the kind of music they like. And boy, and never offend them. And boy, they'll come in and listen to you. And they'll bring you their money. And they'll give you a good salary. They might buy you a car, you know. I was in another church. Every now and then when we don't have a meeting scheduled, we'll drop in on a church that we believe to be a good, fundamental, solid, soul-winning Baptist church, you know. And we'll drop in just to meet a pastor. And about a year ago, I guess it's been, we dropped in on a church that has historically stood for truth. Good, strong church, as I remembered it. Great men of God had preached in that pulpit. Walked in there. Pastor, I don't know how many years he'd been in the ministry, but I'd have to guess 40, 50 years. We got there early, we thought. The contemporary service was going on. The other service was to follow. Why? Say, not me! Oh, not me! I won't do it! I hope not. But realize, that man didn't think he would either. You don't know what you might do. You let down your guard, and you start thinking so good about yourself that you never give in to something like that. You just might fall to those temptations. Keep your standards. Hold them high. God's Word hasn't changed. Why has our preaching changed? Well, people don't like to hear that anymore. I know. They don't like to hear Jesus either. I'm just afraid that we're losing ground. I understand times have changed. I realize that. I understand people's life schedules. Their lives are so busy. It's even hard to get good Christians to be committed to church regularly. You know, we think people that come only on Sunday mornings, well, they're some of the cream of our crop, and sadly, many times they are. It's hard to get people like that today that are really sold out. I remember as a kid growing up, I remember my dad used to plan. He'd plan our his vacations. He got vacation, worked at Goodyear Tire. He had several weeks, I think 5 weeks of vacation a year. He would call the pastor, talk to the pastor after church Sunday, say, "Pastor, what's our schedule for this year, for this summer? You know, do we have any revivals? When's Vacation Bible School? You know, I want to make sure that I'm not on vacation when we have something major going on at the church." Now people find out what's going on at the church so they can get out of there that week, you know? What happened? What happened? I know it's hard. I know things have changed. I think sometimes we're throwing it away. I realize we've lost some of it, not by our design, but I'm afraid that sometimes we're giving the devil some of the road. I'm afraid we're letting down our standard just so we can get more people in, and we're really losing ground willfully. Amen. I hate to see it. You know, nothing happens. We get tired and discouraged. Satan points a finger at you. You know, if you were a real man of God, you wouldn't get discouraged. Start giving in. Watch what you stand for. You know, find something you're going to stand on, and then stand there. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand strong. Pick up the old book and stand on it. Keep those standards. Keep the old hymns. Keep the old ways. Man of God, look like a man of God. Another thing gets in my craw sometimes. Preacher comes to the pulpit and he's got one of those funny looking shirts on, you know, no collar and no tie. And come on now. It gets hot, I might take my jacket off, all right? But like my preacher says, You saw me. I had one when I came in. He'll pull it off and go ahead and preach. You know, it gets hot in the summertime, you know, that sort of thing. The man of God ought to look like a man of God. Amen. You know, the world ought to be able to recognize a Christian. Certainly ought to be able to recognize a man of God. Well, the world might need a man of God, and they point you out. How many of you have had somebody come to you, maybe in a restaurant, somewhere, come up to you? You've never met him before. You're talking with him, maybe at the checkout line or something. And he says, "Are you a preacher?" I don't know how they can know, how they can tell. But they ought to be able to tell. We ought to be different. We ought to look different. We ought to play the part, you see? If you've accepted the part, then follow the role, you know? Come on. Just stand. Stand strong. Go back to Luke chapter 22 again. Maybe you're still there. Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Keep your finger there and flip over to John chapter 17. The Lord prayed for Peter. He says, "Peter, I know Satan's going to sift you. Satan's desired you. Satan wants to discourage you, Peter. But Peter, I've prayed for you." Look at John 17 and verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Lord, I'm not just praying for these, right back in verse 9, Lord's high priestly prayer, verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. But down in verse 20, he says, Lord, God, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you and I, folks. That's you and I. Praise God, Jesus prayed for us also. Not just for Peter. He's praying for you. He prayed for you. He prayed for your ministry. He knew that Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, and he prayed for you as well. He prayed for me. I think that's a tremendous thing. My Jesus prayed for me. You see, and he's even interceding for me yet today. There's no excuse, folks. When the devil comes in and gets our life, gets our ministry, and destroys our ministry, either by us getting out of the ministry altogether through discouragement, whatever, through sin, through dropping our standards and actually becoming one of Satan's ministers. Yeah, you heard me. Remember, Jesus prayed for you. You didn't have to give in. You don't have to give in. You can stand strong. You see, you need to have resolve. Whatever happens, however bad it might be, however much pressure my church puts on me, however much pressure my deacons put on me, however much pressure the community puts on me, I will stand. I will stand. Not in pride. Him that taketh heed, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. No, I'm talking about a resolve to stand by the grace of God. I know the enemy's fighting me. I know he wants me to fall. But by the grace of God, I will stand. You see, if you're going to resolve to stand, then you've got to be watching for the slime pits and stuff along the way that might bring you down, you see. You've got to be aware of that stuff going on around you. Watching for that thing. Watching for that stuff. The old paths. Which is the good way. Walk therein. You see, stand and see. Look in the way. See, you know, be observant. Watch what's going on around you. No excuse. Just stand. But I have prayed for thee, he said, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted. And see, the Lord knew he was not going to stand. The Lord knew. And he says, now Peter, I'm praying for you. Satan's desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And by the way, the Lord must have approved that, because we see that Satan did get a hold of him, sift him as wheat, and he did fall. You and I are going to fall from time to time too. The Lord allowed that to happen in Peter's life. But he says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. There's hope for you if you do fall. You get back up again and say, by the grace of God, I'll not fall again. And maybe I can encourage another brother that I see heading the same direction I went. I can help my brethren. I can lift them up. I can encourage them. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go. So I'm to prison, to death. He said, that pride. He says, I can handle it. You know the story. He did fall. But then Peter stood back up again on the day of Pentecost. Oh my, he was mightily used throughout the rest of his ministry. Mightily used for God. Just stand. Now, folks, maybe you've seen that your ministry has begun to relax a little bit. Your standards have begun to relax a little bit. You've been given in a little bit. Now, don't go back to your church Sunday and say, from here on out, folks, this is the way we do it. We're going to walk the straight and narrow from here on. You split your church. Now, go back and gently in love, teach them what the Scriptures say. It's okay, believe it or not, it's okay for the man of God to apologize. Yeah, it's okay. Folks, I'm sorry. I kind of bought into some of this stuff. I want to show you what God showed me. And love them and teach them and grow. It might not happen in a week or two. It might not happen in a year or two. But you bring them back to where God wants His church to be. You see, you bring them back in love. Love them. Help them. Grow them. You see, bring them to a point of maturity. You see, don't go and say, "Well, God spoke to my heart," and then rake them over the coals, and you know, love them. Just stand. Dr. Cummins used to encourage us to stand. And he stood. Don't think he wasn't battled by the devil. Don't think he never had any temptation to give in. But he stood. And 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 he challenged us to stand. Dr. Emery continues to stand. Massillon Baptist Temple continues to stand. And praise God, Massillon Baptist College continues to stand. But the college won't stand if we don't stand. You see, we can encourage them. They can encourage us. That's what's special about these meetings. You see, we get together, we come together and encourage one another. Because it's not easy to stand. We get to encourage one another. Preachers, stand. I don't care how hard it gets. Just stand up. Hold the banner high. You're not going to let her drop. One day, the Lord will look down and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. We're pastoring His churches. Upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't build His church for you to develop however we want to run it. No, He built His church. And He called you and allowed you to pastor His church, that you might proclaim His word, do it His way. And then one of these days, He's going to come along, He's going to just reward you, pour blessings on you, give you a crown for faithfulness. And what an awesome privilege it is to serve God. And then one of these days, He's going to reward us for doing so. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that You'll help us stand. I thank You for these good men. Lord, as far as I know, every one of them are standing. Lord, I don't know a single man in this room that has left down the guard. But Lord, for some reason, You laid this message on my heart. Maybe Satan has desired to have some of them and wants to sift them. See what they're really made of. Will they stand or won't they? Help us, Father, to resolve. Stand strong like the rock. You never wavered, Lord. Even today, Your desires for Your church are the same as they were the day You started it. You're still standing. Help us, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.